A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
My name is Ashton, and Peter's back.
Are you welcoming? Do I count as every? Am I in with everyone when you say welcome back to the podcast? Were you welcoming me?
No.
Just to be clear, I was omitting you on purpose.
Well, then you should say
did
everyone.
Did you just click? Did something just click in your shoulder?
You should say everyone except Peter.
Except Peter.
Okay.
Well, we'll do it again then.
Okay.
Hello, everybody, except Peter, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton. And Peter's back.
Peter's back, I suppose. How are you doing, Peter?
I'm doing all right, thanks. First I was being sick, then I was on holiday.
Was unwell.
So it kind of cancels out, I think.
I had pooed my pants.
Sorry.
As Ben was saying on the podcast, and if you listened, he said you were having big plops.
Right.
He's having big plops.
And then last week when you were on Hollabobs, Ben said you were having big plops in Ireland.
Yeah. He's just doing the world tour.
Yeah, I'm no better, but I am still going on that holiday.
It has been booked.
Yeah. Did you have a nice time on
I
holiday?
Did. I could have, if I'd wanted to, done big plops on the plane flying in.
Because was it that bad?
It was pretty bad, actually.
Oh, man.
Flying back was fine. And actually, flying... I was thinking, like, is it going to be like this all the way? But when we were cruising, it was like smooth sailing.
Oh, was it really turbulent?
But taking off and landing was like real bad. But actually, that's the one part of flying that I am fine with. I feel like if it's turbulent when you're taking off or landing, I'm like, yeah, but you're moving around anyway. Mm. You're going up or down, hopefully the right way.
Yes.
But, you know, if you're like, meant to be having a nice cruise and then suddenly the plane like falls 10 feet. That's not as nice. But some of the people around me were, the guy next to me looked very worried.
Your dad?
Yeah, my dad.
The guy next to me.
I think my dad was probably the only person on the entire plane, except maybe the pilot.
Did you go with your family?
Yeah, it was a family holiday.
Nobody tells me nothing. I didn't even know you were going on holiday last week until literally the Friday before when Ben went, oh, he won't be here next week because he's on holiday. And I was like,
what?
Huh?
Did you know my dad was there or did you just guess?
I knew it was a family holiday.
Yeah, it was a family holiday. But
I assumed your dad would be there.
My dad's worked in...
Sorry, Ashton. Peter will have to check in with you.
I haven't heard anything about this holiday and it's Thursday.
My dad's worked in aviation for a very long time and has probably been on more planes than... Well, definitely been on more planes than anyone else I know. He used to fly like twice a week sometimes. So
that's a lot of flying.
He probably has had worse flights than that. He was fine with it.
Doing cartwheels down the
aisle. He was causing issues, in fact, with the weight.
He was asked to sit down several times.
He's walking up to the what's it called, the front, where the pilot sits.
The cockpit.
I forgot the word.
Pilot's special room.
The pilot's special room and offering any assistance.
Advice,
yeah.
But yeah, it was, I mean, it seems a distant memory now, but it was during all those storms and stuff. And when we took off, the pilot came on and said, coming into Cork, at the moment, it's looking a bit like we might not even be allowed to land there. Like, it's just too windy. And we're like, oh, brilliant. And then when he said, like, no, we're going to land into Cork now. If anything, we were probably, like, disappointed that he'd said that. We're like, oh, no. We're going to land in that place that half an hour ago, it was like, you're not allowed to land there right now.
Like, actually, it's fine now.
Here we go.
I kind of wish you'd landed in Heathrow. So the man who was, like, filming everyone
people said Peter on Austin's my chat, play. Were you on whatever it's called?
So much drama surrounding that guy.
Is that?
Yeah, the real plane spotters were like, he's an ambulance chaser. He just wants to see a crash. Don't give him the publicity. Boo. There was real infighting.
I don't know if they realized, but everyone who was
community.
Watching just also kind of, I think, wanted to see.
Yeah,
a
they're
crash.
Not there for actual
yeah, maybe
plane
a little
spotting.
Bit.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
a little bit.
I didn't watch it because it was stressing me out.
And you had your back to it and you were busy working.
Yeah.
That was the main
Yeah, everyone
thing,
in the
there,
office
Ashton?
Also had their backs.
Exactly.
Well, I didn't, unfortunately. It was right there and I was like, I'm flying next
I
week.
I actually didn't remember.
It was really loud as well. It was on extremely loud. But there we are. This is our video game podcast.
Hello.
Where we talk about video game things. Each and every week, we're sponsored by a very real video game adjacent sponsor. Peter has the ad read in front of him right now.
I've got an exclusive here. It's
exclusive.
I have a exclusive here. it is a huge, huge announcement. I don't know why they've allowed us to reveal this to the world.
Ooh, it's exciting.
It's the biggest video game crossover event of the year.
What?
In the two of the biggest video games of the year are doing a crossover.
Whoa.
Right?
Okay.
Coming next week.
Next week?
Next week. They've been really quick with this.
Yeah.
Horizon for Elden Ring. It's going to be huge.
Just wait till that comes out and everyone will be saying Elden Ring's a dead game.
They will.
Dead game.
Dead game.
Hashtag dead game.
Hashtag dead game.
I'm just glad they portmanteaued the word Forbidden, because if it was just Horizon Forbidden Ring, that sounds a little bit more dodgy, I think.
It does.
That sound like maybe a Rule 34 kind of situation.
Yeah, possibly. But no, it's coming soon. Horizon Forbidden Ring.
How have they done the crossover? Is it just like Aloy and Elden Ring? Or
I think you can play as like who you want, but right. you fight big metal dinosaurs, but this time they just kick your ass and then you get really annoyed and turn it off.
Okay.
Unless you don't, if you're into that kind of thing. But I would.
Me too.
It's going to be great. Slight Horizon, but just really hard.
Yeah.
I think.
Did you just take the two names and there's no pun here that I'm missing, right?
No.
It's just the two names mashed together. Yeah. Okay, well, that's fine then. Cool. When's it out? Next week?
Well, as you say,
crazy.
Did I just put the two words together? Yes, I did, because it's not real.
Because it's not
who
real.
Saw that coming?
Damn it. I was
me.
Massively overthinking that the entire time. Like, there must be a deeper meaning.
I did think you were quite
this.
Quiet.
What is this? Is Belden a thing? What's a Belden? Am I missing something? For what? No.
It's just.
Surely. He's just, what is that hand gesture? He's just done that.
Taken that one and that one.
He's just done that.
There's the two Forbidden Rings there.
Cheeky specs. No, we are not sponsored by Forbidden Ring. We are, of course, sponsored by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/ Team Triple Jump, where for as little as $1 per month, you could submit questions to this podcast. We've got loads of other tiers available as well. Please do consider going and checking them out. Also, there's another way you can support us. Is there one of you?
Yeah, you can go to facebook.com/teamtriplejump and follow our Facebook page. Join the group, the Walrus Clan group.
Yes.
And when we get to 10,000 followers, we'll be really happy and we can pay James Jenkins and me.
Not a moment before.
Go check it out. We'll talk about it a bit more later on. But if you have a spare minute right now, why don't you just go to the Facebook page?
Facebook page. Go do it.
If you wanted.
If you want it.
You should.
You know.
Thanks.
I've got a question here from Young Grandpa.
Okay.
Who says,
so young.
I'm so young. And my child has a child. Greetings, Bap. It actually says greeting, Bap. Just
greeting.
One. We have to share
just a
it.
Single.
It's 2022 now, and the days of every property available getting a mediocre THQ licensed game or...
It's your turn with the greeting.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry. Thanks.
I was trying to get eye contact with you, but you just weren't looking at
me. I could just see you doing something with your hands.
I missed the initial greeting pass. Ashton's just handed me the greeting.
Yeah, you have it now.
That's nice. The days of every property available getting a mediocre THQ licensed game or a game based on the newest movie are long behind us. However, in this future, we're getting licensed games that create their own stories and take on a life of their own. Then in parentheses, it says Marvel, Spider-Man, and Miles Morales. And Miles, comma, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, comma, the upcoming not Telltale but basically Telltale Star Trek game. With so many licensed properties getting the care and attention they need to become stellar games, what properties do you all think could make for a fantastic gaming experience if done by people who love the property and not by people who love money? Jump, jump, jump. Dar.
I think it's Darren. I think I forgot to copy the end.
Dar.
It says D-A-R-R-E.
Darren.
I think it's Darren.
Darren. Good. Thank you. We got there in the end. I wrote down three, and every time I wrote an idea down and then was about to write the next one down, I was like, oh, that one I've just written down is actually, it's going to happen already. It's happening. Mm. So this is good stuff. I came up with three answers, and all of them are actually happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
X-Men. We've got Wolverine coming.
Yes.
That's true, yeah.
So I'd love to see either a sort of Wolverine-style game where you presumably only play as one X-Man. Although, that being said, in Spider-Man by Insomniac, you did play as MJ.
You did. And Peter Parker.
And, well, yeah, I mean, as
different
well as...
Different guy.
Yeah. Well, and Peter Parker, true.
Is MJ an X-Man?
No. Okay. But, I mean, in Spider-Man, you didn't just play as Spider-Man, is
right,
my point.
I see. No. I thought I missed a bit of the story.
No.
And I was like, huh?
Like, what I was about to say was... In Wolverine, presumably you will only play as Wolverine. Yeah. But actually, maybe not.
Play as Logan as well.
You might play as Logan, yeah. His alter ego.
Yes. His secret identity. Wow, who's that huge muscular squat guy with the claw hands?
It's all right, it's not Wolverine because he's not got the claws.
Oh, that's Logan. That's just Logan. That's everyday normal guy Logan.
Everyone knows Wolverine can't put his claws away. They're just out all the time. Yeah, exactly. So that must be Logan. Mm-hmm. But in any case, however it is they're going to do Wolverine, I would like to see either an X-Men game where... You maybe play as one X-Man, such as Wolverine, all the way through. Or maybe an X-Men game where there are different missions where you're playing as different X-Men or women.
Yeah.
And they're sort of tailored to you. It could be like linear. I guess it being open world makes it... I think we've talked about this before, like when you have particularly a superhero game, but you know, any kind of game where different characters have different abilities. If you have an open world, you then have to be a bit more careful that like, you're always going to be able to get to the top of that mountain or like get through that area if you're able to play as a different character. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to make it accessible to all characters. But, you know, certainly if it was a linear experience and each mission was like designed for certain X people, that could be good. I then put Star Wars because, you know, until recently, EA has been in charge of Star Wars and they famously love money.
They do.
They didn't
make Jedi Fallen Order in a we love money kind of way, but that's about the only, that's the exception that proves the rule, I think, is that 99% of the time they love money. They made Battlefront the way they did. They made the flying one
Squadrons?
The way they did. Squadrons. That was pretty money loving. So I'm looking forward to just seeing more Star Wars now that the exclusivity is gone. Mm-hmm. And then finally, I thought I'd like to play an open world Harry Potter video game.
Ah.
And that's happening this year. So I think that's going to be great. Obviously, there are issues with the franchise as a whole, namely the person in charge of it. But if we're just talking about the merits of the game, I think it looks like it's going to be a good time. So I'm glad that's happening. And hopefully it's not being done in a money-loving way, as young grandpa puts it.
I'm surprised you didn't say Jurassic Park. I thought that was going to be
I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah. No, that is one.
That one as well.
Well, that's a good answer because that is one that at the moment is not sort of happening as far as I'm aware.
Well, they're making a Jurassic Park like simulator thing, aren't they?
They've been doing, what do they call it? I want to say Forgotten Kingdom, but that's not it. Fallen Kingdom.
Fallen? Sorry.
Yeah. Or was that just that was the name of the second movie, wasn't it? You know the management game?
Evolution.
Evolution, yeah. Mm. Forgotten Kingdom or Fallen Kingdom was the second film. But yeah, the Evolution 1 and 2. But I'd like to play like a first-person Dino Crisis-style game or something.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Get them dinos, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's about time that they make a movie make a game based on the best movie that's come out this side of
2000.
Yes. I think it's about time they make the Uncharted movie into a video game.
Oh, thank God. You right. Know, someone was brave enough to say it.
Why have they not made that a video game yet? It'd be really good.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I know it's a franchise, just in case you didn't understand.
I would love a video game adaptation of the movie, but made to the standards of a usual movie game. Mm. Like just a really crap
linear corridor.
Yeah, just the worst possible movie tie-in you could imagine, but it's all called Uncharted. Yeah. That would be incredible.
Uncharted the movie, the game.
I'd love that.
Uncharted the game, the movie, the game. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But for realsies, I would like Charlie's Angels movie because I really like Charlie's Angels, both the recent one, which people said was bad, but I really had a crush on Kristen Stewart, so maybe that's why I liked it, and the old ones as well because I think they're great.
We played a Charlie's Angels game.
I know there is a really crappy one, but if we could have like a good one.
I was about to say, feels like something we might have played on Worst Games Ever, but we did. Yeah, I remember it.
Because they have idle animations where they dance like lunatics.
Yeah.
And we've had that one.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'd like an Oceans game. Oceans, I think, 1 through 13. I don't really know how the numbers work in Oceans games.
I think it started at 11.
Yeah. There's definitely 14 Oceans movies.
I don't really understand how they work. They've all got different. I thought there was 12 because I saw Oceans 12 first and then Oceans 13 appeared and then there was Oceans 11.
How have I never heard of
these? And I was like, I don't know. God, how did
10 of these pass me by?
I didn't understand how they work. But yeah, an Oceans game, like a heist game could be really cool.
That'd be
like
cool.
Different parts and you can make it kind of like co-op kind of
could be like
situation.
Hitman where there's loads of different ways to do it.
Yeah. We've got someone like, if you have like a co-op version of it, someone's like the hacker. Because I don't know if you guys ever played it, there's a PlayStation game that came out on PS Plus a couple months ago where there was like two spies and one of you was the hacker and one of you was like the operative and Operation Tango,
I think that
game was really fun and I thought that would be quite cool. Kind of vibe. Also a Ghostbusters game. I know we had a couple and there's literally a ranked list of all the many of Ghostbusters
and
games.
And most
that we
of
had.
Them are rubbish.
And most of them are rubbish.
But that's the point of the question, isn't
it? Yeah, to have a good one.
A good one.
And then I quite like a Wonder Woman game. Actually, they're making a Wonder Woman game.
I feel like they are.
Yeah.
I feel like they are making
that's
one.
I've just had that moment of like, I remember watching the trailer. Was it Game Awards where there was just like a clip of like a...
Is a shield. And a
yeah,
sword.
Shield
just
and a lasso.
W. Yeah, and just a panning. W. Yeah, just some concept-y thing.
Yeah,
I think so.
Well, I hope that's good.
Like the Indiana Jones.
Yeah, fingers crossed, eh?
Yeah.
Where it just went across the desk and there was a hat and it went...
and that was it. Yeah. Sad horn.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are what I would like for video games from
it's
movies.
It's a good share.
Indiana Jones actually is another one, but that's happening. They're all happening.
Are
it's great news.
But will they
be
good?
Yeah. Did I miss that one?
Bethesda's making it.
Mm. Oh, okay.
There were some good-ish ones for the time on PS2. And
I really like the Lego Indiana Jones games. Yeah. They're pretty good too.
Ben. Yeah.
What franchises would you like to see made into?
I'll tell you what franchises. Firstly, I wanted to be a real stick in the mud and just say, all games need to be made with wanting to make money in mind. Otherwise, you won't be able to have like the high budget experience that you want. But there is a middle ground there on the extreme. You've got obviously like Star Wars Battlefront, which is very cynical and not good. And then you've also got Marvel's Spider-Man, which clearly had an insane budget and needed to make all its money back, but it also happened to be really good and they got the right people and the right team involved and now they can just make those forever, please.
And if it hadn't been, they might have made a loss on it and it would have been really bad.
Exactly.
Because they didn't put microtransactions in it or whatever.
But it's great and it doesn't need microtransactions.
No, absolutely.
So there's a few things we spoke about vaguely before, but Stranger Things, I think, would make a really good video game. I know there was a Telltale game that was cancelled. And I just can't help but feel like, especially with this sort of bingeable nature of a lot of streaming shows, that when I'm sat there binging them, I just think, man.
This you mean would... looking them up on Microsoft's browser?
Yes, when I'm putting them into Microsoft Bing, I can't help but think, man, I would have loved to have like just played through that. You know, just that was a really well realized sort of self-contained story told in an hour. And that would, I'd love to dip into a game like that, that I could just sort of pick up and, you know, the new chapter's out, new episode's out, go play it.
A bit like how The Order would make a really good streaming show, I think.
The Order?
1886. Yeah, I think.
Oh, I see what you mean. As
it
in like
being
a TV
like a
show.
Nice little contained story, you know, like the flip side of that.
Yeah.
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 No, to complement each other as formats.
Isn't there a Stranger Things game?
There's a mobile game.
There was going to be a Telltale one.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure. I'm going to Google
They may well have released like a smaller indie one. I definitely played like a kind of rubbish mobile game at some point. But yeah, I'm talking like a full. You know, like I wanted to
look
nice.
I just couldn't remember.
How about a good Captain Scarlet game? I was really struggling for ideas, to be honest.
Right.
Because we've just played a very real stinker, real stinker with one. And I just think that the fiction of that universe is so rich. Mm. Imagine having like a third person sort of action game.
Yeah.
But Captain Scarlet, you know, there were so many.
What you got?
This one. Is that the one you've played? Stranger Things 3, the game.
No, I haven't played that one. There was a mobile game before that, but yeah. That exists.
Probably
yeah,
a lot of blast properties Stranger that Things, the game, could have been really good.
Knight Rider.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, I don't care about Knight Rider, but I would have liked a good Captain Scarlet game. Imagine growing up with the PS1 equivalent of that Spider-Man game that everyone loved on PS1, but for Captain Scarlet. That would have been great, but no, apparently it's kind of bad. The final one that I've got here is WWE. Can you imagine if they treated that property with respect and made a really good game? Mm. It's focused far too much on the simulation aspect and being super realistic. And I think it needs to look good, and it does look graphically good, but it can also be fun. And they every year, I feel like if someone put a montage together of the amount of times, or in fact, just presumably every release where it says refined gameplay.
Yeah.
It's like, well, when are you going to, you stumbled upon it 20 years ago. Why are you refining it every year for two decades and getting further and further away from what was accessible and fun? I don't understand. But wrestling is at its best when it's telling a good story. Mm-hmm. So why not just do a really good narrative game where you are a wrestler and you're trying to navigate your way through the crazy world of the wrestle land, and you've got to make decisions as you go, and there are branching paths, and it's just make a good game.
Yeah.
They've been bad for so long, so that would be nice if someone made a decent game with that property. Mm-hmm. I would appreciate it, but we'll see how the new one is very soon, I imagine.
It's time for a segment that we've created just because Peter's returned from his 2-week hiatus on the podcast. So, you know, we didn't do this forever before. Mm-hmm. So just a treat for you. It's time to talk about what we're playing.
Oh. It's time for what we're playing. It's time to talk about what we playing. Peter,
yeah.
You've been away.
Yeah.
Have you been playing?
Yeah, I appreciate you coming up with a format about what we've been playing when I've not really been around much. But I have. So I came back on the weekend, but on the weekend when we flew back into the country before I left, we did actually play some Jackbox at home with the family, which was nice. So, but I only have Party Pack 1. So you know, that's just like Fibbage and the drawing one and stuff, you know, that was fun. In fact, no, we do have another one as well. We have another, it's like number 5 or something, so we played a few different games, but had a good time with that. And then since I've been back home with access to video games, the one thing I have played is a little bit more Orcs Must Die, actually, because when I was on holiday, I was thinking, I've played that in a little bit. And I was like, I'd like to go back and just see if I can get five. There were a couple of levels, actually, where I'd still not got a perfect 5 skulls. And I was like, I'm going to do it. And I ended up spending about 2 or 3 hours on 2 levels, just really struggling. But hey, I enjoyed every moment. I find it very satisfying. It's a big dopamine game, that one. And yeah, I thought it was great. So you can keep your Elden Rings. You know, I think the idea of Elden Ring sounds difficult and draining. But so if you're judging me at home, right, because I played 3 hours, 2.5 hours of 2 levels on Orcs Must Die 3, well, I found it just as fun as you did dying to the first boss. So, Ashton.
Thanks, Peter. I have played one game this week. Can you guess what it is?
Horizon.
Yeah, I just played that.
For Belden Wing.
For Belden Ring.
Wing.
Wing, I didn't say wing. For Belden Wing.
I didn't play much over the weekend because my parents were here. But I've played it a couple days this week. Actually, I've not played that much this week. I've only played a couple hours Monday and Tuesday night. And yeah, I'm still really enjoying it. I'm having to really force myself to not just finish the story because I'm just all I want to do is like get to the next story mission and do the next story mission and like just find out what's happening and meet the new characters and stuff. But I really feel like I need to explore the areas that I have left behind and not finished.
So you still don't know how it ends yet? I don't know either. But I'm just saying.
No, I've not finished the game yet.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm trying to take my time because I'm worried that I will hate it. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, if I just take my time and finish the bits and bobs, but I don't think I'm going to hate it. The story is really good so far, and I've really enjoyed the twists and turns that it's thrown at us. So I'm really enjoying it, and I'm really excited to keep playing it. I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed with it at the moment. I think maybe potentially it's a bit too much sometimes. I think it has got this thing with, like, you know, not to compare it to Ubisoft games as many people have, but it's got that loads of question marks on the map kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's fine. And at first I was like, oh, I'm going to go explore everything. But now I'm like, oh my God, there's a question mark all the way up there that I haven't even looked at yet. I don't even know what I'm going to do. I've got to go here, got to go there. And sometimes I do find that the map's a little bit barren. Like if you go kind of stray a bit far off the beaten path, there's not a lot kind of going on. But that's okay. There's a lot of map to kind of cover in animals and monsters and stuff. But yeah, I am really enjoying it, and I think it's building on the first game really well. So yeah, I'm enjoying it, and I'm excited to keep playing it. But I just really want to finish the story. So Ben, what have you been?
I can
playing?
Hear how much you want to
I
finish.
Know, really I want really, to, really want to finish.
Surely you can keep playing after the story, though, right?
Yeah, but I can. But I don't want to miss any side missions or anything. Because in the first game, at the end, there's obviously a battle.
The Avengers come together,
yeah. And you get a trophy for like having all of your allies at the end. Oh. And I don't think I'm close to the end. I'm about 60% of the way through, according to the in-game kind of percentage marker. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I've got a couple story missions left to do, but I'm a bit like, what if I haven't done this side mission and then this person doesn't come and join me at the final battle? Like, what happens then?
What do you do then?
What happens then? Huh? And then I'm going to have to play the whole game again.
Oh, no. You'd hate that.
Nightmare. So, yeah.
No, I get it. I do get it. Mm. And you don't want to Google if there are any of those
Google
things,
yeah.
Because
anything.
You might get the spoilies.
Yeah.
Spaloy.
I've tried not even to look at the trophies.
Why did you say that?
It's okay. I thought it was good. I don't even look at the trophies either, just in case it's
possible. Nah, that's sensible. That's really sensible. Yeah. They haven't got that, wasn't it that they didn't have any hidden trophies? I don't know if they've added
them
now.
They have hidden trophies.
They do. Okay.
They've always had hidden trophies, I think.
There was some article that Push Square posted. It may well have been that it was just the trophies are out, so be careful. But I seem to believe that there were no hidden trophies, maybe briefly, so you could just see quite spoilery trophies and stuff.
I don't remember seeing them. But then again, I just actively haven't looked, so maybe that's why I didn't see it.
It's smart.
Yeah.
You're being smart.
What have you been playing, Ben?
What do you think?
You've been playing Elden Ring.
Orcs must die. Yeah. So I have been playing Elden Ring. Mm. Not as much as I would like. Last night was really, this being Wednesday night I'm talking about because we're recording on Thursday morning,
yeah.
Was my first proper time where I could sit down and just like play it because I was away all weekend and then Monday I had a self-care day. And I just left that pregnant pause there because I was actually going to talk about it at the top of the show and then I forgot. I ended up buying a lot of things on eBay.
Yeah.
As a result of this self-care day that I'm really regretting now. And I was going to run through all of the things. But that means that I didn't have a lot of time to play Elden Ring. And Monday was self-care day. And Tuesday I streamed it and then I came home and I was tired. Mm. And then so last night was my proper chance to sit down and I love it. It's really, really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I have found like a little area where I can kind of farm runes or souls, if you will, quite effectively. And I was doing that over and over again. And then I thought, nah, I'm going to go for an explore. Let's go on a bear hunt, right? We're not scared.
Yeah.
So I hopped on my horse and I just followed a road. And I followed it and I came across more and more of this sort of like undead procession of like this really bedraggled army who were clearly from beyond time or something. They were like standard bearers and some of them had like little horns and they were marching in formation, but they were like weak and rubbish and like all sort of shuffling like they were undead. And so I killed them and I thought, where have these guys come from? And I kept going, and eventually I got to this sort of semi-destroyed bridge, and there were some slightly better soldiers on it, and someone manning or womaning a sort of a ballista thing, mm-hmm. just like firing massive crossbow bolts at me. So I killed all of them, got past, and there was an NPC who was sat there. And she said, oh, I've fled the castle up ahead, and my father, who's the commander, he's decided to stay behind. Would you deliver this letter for me? And I was like, yes, I have a goal now. I know there's a castle up here somewhere. So I went up to the castle. I cleared everything out. I met the man, gave him the letter. Then I beat the boss of that area. And I came back and he was like, you've beaten the boss of the area. Thank you. My job is done. I can go and see my daughter. I then fast traveled back to the daughter. And then, like, I'm not going to say anymore. But basically, I sort of managed to play out practically an entire NPC storyline and find a place to explore with that was full of items and kill a boss by just going down a road. Mm. And it was all very organic and it felt right. And you're always drawn in different directions. So I'll be going along this path and then I'll see something off to the left and I'll go, right. And then my brain sort of splits in two where I yeah. think, got to come back to the path, but you can go over there. But you've got to come back to the path. So I go over there and I do that. And then I find a little mini dungeon. I go down there, beat the boss. And the whole time I'm thinking, you've got to go back to the path. Because you remember the castle. You've got to go to the castle. So then I'll come back and I'll keep going towards the castle. And then I'll see something on the right. And I'll go do the same thing. Like, got to come back to the path. That's the main goal here. You've got to go back to the path. But I'm always being pulled in different directions. There's always something to do. And I haven't really struggled with anything yet. Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard. But this is what I've been waiting for. Like, this is, it's more, I've been endlessly replaying From Software's Soulsborne titles for years. And
because you've had nothing new.
Because there's been nothing new to play and Sekiro can get in the bin, yeah. quite frankly. and so it's just so exciting to have this, finally. And I have played multiplayer a couple of times. There were a couple of bosses. When I said I didn't struggle, I mean, as in, I wasn't like rage quitting the game, that which can happen with this game, but there were a couple of bits where I just thought, life's too short, this game's massive, I would like some co-op help please. And it's super easy to do co-op. This game like really explains how all the functions work. You don't have to Google that much, which is a huge leap forwards for From Software titles. But I think it's fantastic. I've been like having, the memes have been amazing as well. I've been loving the memes the algorithm has been serving to me on Twitter. Mm. And what's so nice is that the stuff that's being memed is stuff that's like standard fare for FromSoft titles and has been for ages. Like the messages with the, with the, you know, try tongue butthole, try finger butthole, dog ahead, and it's like a tortoise because you can only pick from set messages and stuff. That has been part of the DNA of Soulsborne titles for years. And because this game is that much bigger, has been reviewed that much better, and has had that many more players hop in, it's just nice to see more people getting in on this stuff and like enjoying the thing, not to be like, oh, is that fast, but like to enjoy the stuff that I've been enjoying for years and to see it like widely shared and memed and laughed about is great. I'm really, it's a joy to behold.
Yeah, because I've heard people even in the office or, you know, in our kind of circle of like other creators maybe on social media saying, oh, I'm not a Soulsborne player at all. I've never played one of them before. I played a bit of one and then I kind of quit. But I'm going to give Elden Ring a go. Mm. And, you know, that's always a good thing to see when like a new installment in a, all right, not a series, but essentially, you know, a spiritual series comes out and it brings new people in to enjoy things like that.
It's still really tough, but the nature of the open world, the open world nature of the game, let me try that, to construct that sentence again. The open world nature of the game means that you can just go off and do different things. And I have seen several videos recommended to me, again, through the algorithm, like, oh, here's how you get 120,000 runes really easily. And I'm like, okay, I'll go try that when I get home. Actually, I think I'll do that. And I'm going to look up how I can upgrade my healing flask and stuff. And I'm going to go off and go do that and experience things on the way. And it's just, it's great. Really, really like it. Nice. And last night was the first, as I said, proper time I popped into it and had like a proper session where I wasn't just playing the area that I played before, you know, in the closed network test. And I've been thinking about it all morning and I want to go home and play it. So
is there like a, might sound like a stupid question, is there a map that you can like go to and see where you've been?
So there's a map that it's got like a fog of war on it and you open up more as you go, but you also find like map fragments or map pieces that actually doesn't, I don't think it reveals the whole map, but it does like give you the topography and like it colors it in. Because if you're in an area that you've never been to before, the fog of war is lifted and you can see the outline of like the shoreline and stuff, but it's not like colored in, if that makes sense.
Right,
and then you find the map and then it's like, you can, there's like sketches of buildings on it and stuff. You can put custom markers on and you can put other custom like icons. If you find something interesting you want to come back to, you put like a little sword on it. There's a scary man here. Come back to the sword man and kill him at some point. So there's a lot of map customization and things that you can do that just makes finding and remembering where things are that much, and fast travel, of course, which makes a huge difference. So yeah, Elden Ring, man. It sure is.
I have a question here.
Do you?
Yeah, comes from Michael Milan. Michael says, hey, Bap, given how often sex is shown or at least strongly hinted at in TV or movies, why does it still seem to be such a taboo subject in gaming, with very few games including it, and even then often as a novelty rather than a device for storytelling or character development? Is it because the game is still a relatively, is it because gaming is still a relatively new medium for serious narratives, or perhaps because the industry still, because of the industry still not having shaken the childish connotations it is commonly associated with? I'd love to hear your thoughts.
It looks weird. Sex looks weird on video games. I mean, even kisses look a bit weird still. We're better. We're kind of there now, just about, with kissing. But the little sex I've seen in video games has looked weird. And I think that's part of the reason, honestly. I think it's just odd. It's like seeing two mannequins go at it, and I don't want to see that. I also wonder, I don't know if I agree that it's a case of not having shaken childish connotations with gaming. I don't think that's the case, because all sorts of stuff is covered in gaming now that you wouldn't include in a childish medium. But I wonder if it's not quite shaken the, as we call it, the stinky cod boy thing, even though that there are far many more kinds of gamers out there now than your typical FPS dude bros. I still think that it's something that hasn't quite been shaken from mainstream gaming to an extent. You know, we talked about, I can't remember the context of it recently, but we said about, you know, There's still a degree of not pandering to, because that's a bit of a kind of a, you know, it's like looking down your nose to say that. But for a game to be successful, I think developers kind of, if they want it to be mass market, they have to consider all kinds of gamers. And I think that some might worry if there is like a sex scene in a game that might put off a certain portion of the audience, in the same way that, you know, if I saw a sex scene in a film, it wouldn't put me off. I wouldn't be like, oh, turning this off. But if someone said, oh no, we've had to cut the sex scene out of that movie that you're going to go and watch tomorrow, I'd be like, okay, I don't mind. That's fine. I wasn't, you know, it's not a huge part of a narrative for me. As long as I can, if you want to tell a love story, you can do that without a sex scene. Now, I'm like, I wouldn't mind one way or the other if a sex scene was included in a game. But, you know, I wonder if there is an element of like, oh, well, we just want to have like as much mainstream appeal as possible. And some hashtag stinky cod boys might think, why is there a sex scene in my game? This is like,
or they
really,
there's a sex scene.
They might be like that. There's totally an argument for the opposite. So I'm not as convinced with that argument. I think it is mostly just because it looks strange and it's difficult to do and have like an actual emotional moment when you've got people made out of polygons having sex. So that's my main answer, I think.
Not to be a bit of a prude, but I don't really like sex scenes in TVs and movies anyway. I think that like the implication of that kind of thing is like hot enough that I don't feel like it needs to be included.
You don't need to see it.
I don't need to like see two people pretend to have sex on my screen. However, I don't mind, like you say, I wouldn't like be like, oh my God, I hate this movie, there's a sex scene in it. And I'd just more be like, oh, They're having sex. Okay. Yeah. But I think the issue with sex in video games is the level of control you have in video games. Mm. Like, you're kind of involved.
Yeah,
in
it's
it.
Like a vicarious thing.
Like, I don't know if you did in Heavy Rain, but there's a sex scene in Heavy Rain where you have to do QTEs to have sex with woman. And that kind of is a bit like, feel a bit like a kind of involved in this fake sexual intercourse that mm-hmm. these two not real people are having. And I also think that it's just kind of like not done very well, like you're saying, in most things.
Heavy Rain.
Yeah, Heavy Rain. I mean, Far Cry 3 had a sex scene, but it was not too... It wasn't necessarily about the sex. It was kind of about some bits of the story, so it wasn't too bad. I still can't understand. I don't understand why in terms of narrative, but I wish that the sex scene in The Last of Us 2 wasn't in it. It was so much more...
I forgot about that.
Like, I was kind of sat there being like...
I felt like I was like actually in the room watching them do it.
Because you were just so close to it, and I was like, oh, gee, I hope no one walks in right now because this is kind of weird. But I do remember just kind of being like, I've been controlling this character the whole time, and this character is someone that I've kind of made make decisions or kind of made do things, and now they're like boning, and that kind of makes me feel a bit weird. But I also think that it is a little bit of the stigma about horny gamers and like, and not to generalize, but, you know, stinky, sweaty gamer boys who are in their basements and like just want to watch their anime gals jiggle their boobies around for some games. I think there's a line between whether it is gratuitous and therefore hitting that kind of that audience of being like, if we put a sexy sex scene in, or if we have a woman with big chest, like big boobies, and who just moans the whole way through, that'll really sell this game to stinky sweaty boys. But if we put this sex scene in, it makes the what person who's being sexualized, the woman for example, makes that kind of whole female audience be like, oh, this feels a bit like wrong, don't really like this. So I think it's hard to find that middle ground. Like I say, I don't really care for them in movies and TV shows either, but I just think in video games, it's just a bit too much. Maybe that's just me being a bit of a prude, but I just feel like, I just don't feel like it needs it. You know, most of the time you're playing a video game, you're not really in an environment that, or a story that constitutes, you know, a sex scene happening. You know, you're in a zombie apocalypse. You're in the wilderness hunting for a deer or something. You're in a medieval time where something bad's happening. Normally, I don't feel like we have the time to bone.
That's true.
But
people do be horny, though.
They do be horny in the apocalypse. You have to, you are right.
And for some people, it's only a sort of 45-second
experience. That's true.
It
doesn't take a long time.
Well, I mean, if we're not seeing them do their peas and poops, why are we seeing them do the sex and soups?
Yeah, exactly. But that's what I have to say.
Let's talk about bad sex scenes in games, huh? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that Heavy Rain where you awkwardly take off your cardboard shirt.
Let's talk about what's the motorbike game
Ride to Hell Retribution, where they have sex fully clothed.
Yeah.
Yes, where they do that.
What about Playboy?
Let's talk about Monoax.
Sims Woohoo.
Let's talk about Sims Woohoo. Let's talk about Indigo Prophecy, or Fahrenheit if you want to get European about this, or outside of America about this,
Celsius,
where not only is there a sex scene, but it is a QTE, quick time event, and you have to thrust in time with the music, and it's awful, and it's just the worst thing I've ever been forced to partake in a video game, because there's your pride, which is can't miss any buttons, because then I'll be a bad gamer, but there's also the rest of your brain that says, wow, this is really messed up, dude.
Hot coffee, that's another one.
Hot coffee.
Press square to change position or whatever button it was.
It's just, it's goofy. And like,
just paint it black.
Sex is like, sex is weird and funny in real life anyway. Like, it's just, it's objectively a strange thing.
Mm.
But it just doesn't, we don't, as you say, I don't think we need it. There are games that do it well, but they allude to it. They don't show penetration, you know, like Mass Effect and The Witcher, that you see bits and but you see bobs and bits, but you don't see everything, and you don't need to. Like, just a fade to black is fine. You can show a little bit of action if you like, but I agree. I think the Last of Us Part Two sex scene was just like, that was so out there.
Show
it was really
foreplay.
Unexpected.
Show a bit of like the build up, but we don't need to watch the penetration.
Show, still show them waking up lovingly in each other's arms.
That's how a lot of TV and movies do it as well. Like, they don't actually have sex scenes in it.
Another note that I've written here: not every film and TV show has sex in it, and so for the same, and not every adult TV show and film has sex. Well, even the same reason, neither games don't need that either.
But even where people are having sex and sleeping with each other, they would just show like a bit of foreplay. You know, people get into bed.
Maybe they do the kiss.
They do a kiss.
They knock over a nightstand or a lamp.
Yeah, they take their clothes off, and then you don't see that. You know, they maybe get as far as that. And then it cuts away.
Or you see a nip.
Or you see
maybe
a nip.
Maybe you see some boy nips. You see some girl nips.
I'm not anti-bobs.
We're not anti.
We're not anti-bobs on this channel. Okay?
And then maybe
anything, we're pro-nip.
Yeah.
Actually, I think female nipples are disgusting. Yeah, and they should all be. Only male nipples should be shown.
Male nipples are great.
As we've said before.
And then a fade to black or a zoom out from the bedroom window or something.
Exactly, through the window.
Yeah.
You hear the glass subtly smashing as you go through. So I just... As you say, video games, they're not a passive medium for a start.
Mm.
So if sex and sexual relationships are going to be shown in video games, it's a real, it's a whole can of worms if you're going to have it be interactive.
Mm.
I don't think it's necessary.
It should never be interactive no
and
matter what you do.
If it isn't, it can be hinted at, or it can just be, here's a bit of nip, here's a cheeky bit of nip. We don't need to see everything. There is also the aspect, as you say, Peter, about marketing these games. Certain territories just won't allow that.
That's true.
It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
You will not be able to sell your game in that region with even with a little bit of nip. That's going to have to be censored for whatever reason. Final thing that I've just realized is that as we have more and more actual real people play these characters, be they facial capture, even if it's just facial capture, as in the case of Jodie Holmes or Elliot Page in Beyond Two Souls, that was just his face. It's he, him, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it was just his face, and I think it was like a rough estimation of his body.
Mm.
It wasn't like a body scan, but people were able to hack the files and basically with his actual face on whatever, you know, a completely inaccurate body, you would assume, they would have a nude model of this actor.
Well, it's the deep fakes, isn't it? As soon as you kind of give that ability to kind of like move someone's face in a way that is not the way that they're moving it.
Yeah.
You know, you put that face can go on anything.
A lot of actors aren't going to want to sign up for that. They're not going to want to risk that as much as they will get their bare naked ass out in front of a cast and crew to film something in real life.
Mm.
The permanence of having a digital version of yourself out there that people could mess with. I mean, some people
unless
may
you're
not
Keanu
care.
Reeves, who actually is kind of really into
he's actually
like,
super into it.
Yeah, have sex with my cyberpunk character.
That's
cool.
But that's another thing. That's another big sell. If you're especially, you know, as we get more and more of these of like these big actors involved in games, apart from Keanu Reeves, who apparently is absolutely fine with it, more and more of them are gonna not be up for that. They're gonna want to play it safe, especially in a medium that they may not necessarily be too familiar with.
Also, I think like doing a sex scene in a movie or TV show is very different than standing in an audio booth and moaning as if you are in a sex scene.
It's very true. Very true.
I agree with you, Ashton, as well. When I read the question yesterday, I meant to also write down as notes that when you've been playing as the character, that character is an avatar. Like you are them, they are you. Even if it's not an RPG and it's a very defined character, you still feel like you are them.
Mm.
Whereas with a TV show or a movie,
there's still
escapism and like maybe a touch of like vicariousness, but there is a distance. You still feel like an audience member when you're watching a film, but playing a game, you kind of feel like that's you or you are them. And then to see them have sex is like, all right, okay, yeah,
sure.
And going back to what you said, Peter, it just ages horribly.
Yeah.
Like the games are coming along leaps and bounds every year. And I know we're starting to plateau a little bit, but you look at a game in 5 years compared to now, and there will be a big difference.
Mm.
And you look at the sex scenes, in the leaked stuff for the hot coffee mod for San Andreas. You look at it from Indigo Prophecy or Fahrenheit. You look at it in Heavy Rain. The Heavy Rain sex scene is so awkward.
I really like that their really mouths are just kind of doing this.
Exactly, yeah. But I remember at the time being like, this is art. This is it's never going to get any better. They put an adult suit in a game. This is just, this David Cage is going to go really far.
Delete Pornhub. This is all we need.
This is it. This is peak acting, and the medium is going no further forwards than this. And then we fast forward to when Peter and I streamed it in 2019,
yeah.
And it was like, that is the one of the worst. There's so much about this game that looks awful now. So there's also that, again, the real world actors are probably going to tie into that. Like, am I going to look really stupid in 5 years?
Yeah.
Yes, you are. You actually are. So it's all about subtlety, isn't it?
Yeah.
We don't need full penetration in games.
We can imagine it.
Fade to black.
Maybe a bit of arse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a couple of bobs if you're feeling fancy.
There was a Winkle Wonkle, wasn't there, in the A Way Out? You saw some real jinkles,
did,
didn't you?
Yes. Jinkles.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
But it wasn't doing sexy things. It was just there.
Just there. Yeah.
Yeah.
There we are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's move on. That was a strange discussion, wasn't it?
We've got a question from Rock Reese.
You shut your mouth,
Austin. Oh, it's the first time for everything.
That was
it?
A big jump there. Whoa.
He's jumped on my... Have you jumped an entire page?
Yeah, I turned the page.
I watched him turn the page a minute ago, but I thought he was just kind of preparing, and I thought, do you reckon he's skipped?
Just an entire. I didn't just do a Ben where I
just went straight to the news.
Yeah,
it's weird news.
Oh, I wasn't ready.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It's weird news time. Time for some weird video game news. Remember, you can send us your own weird news that you managed to find around the internet. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm just preparing.
Why are you holding your paper up like
I'm
that?
I'm just preparing to read it. I'm just preparing.
On Facebook and...
I'm sorry.
On Facebook and Twitter. we do a post sort of early in the week and you can reply to that or comment underneath it and give us your strange news. Of course, weird news is brought to you by our fantastic podcast producers. If you'd like to become a podcast producer, go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump to find out how. Peter, kick us off.
Alex McDonald.
Caden Agronox.
Checkin' Omega.
Sean Legg.
G.Y. Goliath.
Katie Garrett.
Ellie Nicholas.
Erica Hutchinson.
Melody L. Burnett.
Corey Duffel.
And Gabrielle Philippink.
Fantastic.
And thank you so much, podcast producers.
Thank you, podcast producers. Peter, have you got some strange video game news? You've got to do three because you missed two episodes. So that's how
it's got a three in it, if that helps.
Close enough.
Mm. This is according to Nintendo Life. It was sent by Fergus Jeffs via our Facebook post requesting weird news.
Random.
Colon. These sausages could imply the existence of a third Mario brother.
I really want to do this weird news, but Peter beat me to it.
It's a good headline. It's a short article and actually is barely gaming related It's nothing. It's not. Even the subheading under that. So could imply the existence of a third Mario brother. It then says they don't, but they could.
Great.
So that's kind of, we've already peaked with this story, but I will just read it.
This person, I think, also wrote the Kirby article that you read a couple weeks ago, the mouthful mode one.
Oh, yeah, they just didn't really say anything at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All they've done here is someone's done a funny tweet and they've just written an article about it.
That's fair. It's a snow slow day.
Yeah. Mario and Luigi Mario are the undisputed icons of Nintendo's long-running Super Mario series. Bit of context.
Is Luigi's surname?
Wow.
Well, they're the Mario brothers, aren't they?
Yeah.
So Luigi and Mario's parents named Mario.
Yeah. Well, like Neville.
Isn't it implied that the parents are from the first Donkey Kong game?
Jumpman, she's not a princess, she's got a proper name.
I can't remember what it is. Someone in the comments will be yelling. I think it might
is that
be
implied.
I think it, I don't think it's canon, but. Sorry, did Nintendo Life feel the need to point out the fact that those two are
iconic? This is Nintendo Life. Imagine being on NintendoLife.com and reading an article and not knowing. They're just padding out the word count, aren't they?
A little bit.
But what if they had a secret long-lost brother called Pablo?
Pablo Mario.
This photo of some innocent sausages might seem like naught but a coincidence, but we know that Nintendo loves creative marketing and fun ways to tease their new game.
Can I see the sausages,
Why
please?
Not sausages?
Why not?
Why, sausage. Full stop, not, full stop, sausages, yeah. Full stop.
Can I see the sausages, please?
Yeah. Just loading the tweet.
Yeah.
There will be a link beneath the video.
What?
That one's called Mario.
Yeah.
That one's called Pablo. Oh, that one's called Mario. That one's called Pablo. And those are called Luigi.
What I'm learning about the brothers is that Luigi is by far the least popular brother.
Yeah.
Pablo is more popular. There's so many Luigi sausages there.
In the sausages.
Well, I'll tell you all
green
about
flavor.
This. So there is a tweet embedded into the article by at Moriani on Twitter, who says, all of the Mario Bros as sausages, ... And there is a photo then of just a supermarket shelf somewhere. What currency are we dealing with here?
Doesn't say.
It just has numbers and no actual currency symbol. But there are some sausages with a label that say Luigi, some that say Mario, and some that say Pablo.
Are these official Nintendo sausages?
Well, don't tell us that this isn't an accident on the sausage company's behalf. Isn't an accident. They've done that wrong. Don't tell us that this isn't an accident.
No, that makes sense.
No, don't tell us it's an accident. This is on purpose. Don't tell us it's an accident. But they've got it wrong. Don't tell us that this isn't an accident on the sausage company's behalf. They've even made Luigi green and Mario red. And that's true. The font colors.
Yeah, no, they have got that wrong. I wasn't sure where the rest of the sentence was going.
Pablo, however, is orange, which would be a welcome new colour in the Mario-verse.
What are you talking about?
And there's actually canonically no orange in any Mario games. I don't know if you've ever noticed that.
And then, imagine, we could have Wa-Pablo alongside Waluigi and Wario. He would be blue. And since Wario is short and stinky, and Waluigi is tall and weirdly flirty, Wa-Pablo could be shy and medium-sized.
What on earth is happening?
Is this important news? No, not in the slightest. Do we like speculating about sausages? Absolutely. SourceTwitter.com. That's the end of the article.
But hang on. Right. So this... They're not even Nintendo sausages.
No.
It's just regular sausages.
Someone saw that, by coincidence, presumably Italians, maybe not even Italian, but a sausage brand somewhere names their sausages. One of them was called Mario, one's called Luigi, and in the middle there were some Pablo sausages. They then took a photo because they thought, that's funny, that's a bit like if there was a third Mario brother.
Yeah.
They tweeted it. The tweet went, I didn't see the numbers, but maybe went semi-viral. And then Nintendo Life were like, I'm going to write an article about that. I'm going to say that it implies
third
brother.
That's so stupid.
So that's one of those weird newses where it's almost weird that it has been turned
into Nintendo Life turned that into an article.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What's going on over there? Random.
Ashton.
Random.
Thank you, Peter.
Weird news,
thanks,
Peter.
Peter.
You're welcome.
This comes from CBennett_12 on Twitter. And it comes from Roadshow.
Roadshow.
By CNET is the website.
Okay.
Toyota Yaris GT7 Edition might be the easiest way to get a PS5. Getting a free PS5 with your new car is probably less expensive than what some scalpers are charging.
Are we still doing this song and dance about how much scalpers are charging? It's not that much. It's not that much than the full price. It's like 500. It's really, it's not that much of a big deal anymore.
A grand.
Some people are buying from the wrong scalpers.
I don't really care how much more. I don't even care if they're only charging like 50 quid. I just think...
Screw him.
Screw him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, screw him. But also, PS5s aren't that hard to find. I feel like just... Anyway, carry on. I'm just tired of it, okay? Just buy a PS5. Sorry, Ashton, do you continue?
Can I go this time, or are you going to talk over me?
I might talk. I haven't decided yet.
Okay. If you thought trying to get your hands on a PlayStation 5 console was difficult now, just wait until the latest iteration of the hallowed Gran Turismo racing series is released next month. Well, this month, really. Mm. Thankfully, Toyota España has come up with a clever way to skip the line at your local GameStop. Motor One reports, and all you have to do is buy a car. Toyota España this week announced a limited edition Toyota Yaris GR Sport GT7 edition, available on March 4th, the day of the game's release. Only 100 units will be built, each carrying special touches like Gran Turismo badging on the exterior, an interior nameplate, and a personalised key fob. But the real neat part is what comes with the car. Buyers not only get the Yaris, but also get a PS5, a copy of Gran Turismo 7, a second wireless controller, and a three-month subscription to PlayStation Plus, about a $665 value in total.
How much is the car, is the question.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's a bone-stock Toyota Yaris, which is not a bad thing to get alongside a PS5. This small hatchback has a gas-electric hybrid powertrain producing a thrifty 116 horsepower. This is just about the car. Bored now.
How much for the car?
It doesn't
Can we guess?
Say. Oh. What the heck? Why
I
doesn't
think
it say?
£17,000.
A brand new Yaris. Yeah.
That's based on no prior knowledge at all.
I'd say something like that. Maybe.
Doesn't say. How do I find out how much a car costs?
What a rubbish article.
You probably, if there's only 100 made, you probably have to like apply or something, and then they'll tell you. I don't know. $22,000.
I don't know how much it costs.
Damn.
Sorry.
I think with all the bonuses, they probably charge a bit extra, and probably you probably don't even get your money's worth.
No, probably not.
It's probably like 20 grand.
Oh, it says literally at the bottom. Toyota España did not disclose a price for this special edition, but considering it's limited to 100 examples and is only available in Spain, perhaps you shouldn't abandon your tent outside Best Buy just yet. Mm-hmm. So you can buy a car and it comes with a PlayStation 5 and Gran Turismo.
Right.
Nice.
If you're lucky and in Spain.
And wealthy.
Also, you don't need a tent outside Best Buy. Just buy one.
Just go on the internet.
Just go on the internet. You'll find one.
Yeah. Just get a Fraser Porter. Yeah. And he can hook you up with whenever there's a PlayStation 5 available.
Everybody I know who wants PS5 has one.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not that hard anymore. It's not that. You can do it. I believe in you. If you haven't got one yet and you want one, you can do it. I really do believe in you.
Just follow the stock informer tweets.
And your dreams.
And your dreams.
And your dreams.
Yeah. Follow @yourdreams on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To find a PlayStation 5.
Mm-hmm. That is how it works.
Do you have some weird news, Ben?
I do actually, Ashton. Thank you.
That's okay.
You're welcome. This weird news comes from Gex.
No, you're welcome.
Oh.
From Gex.
Shush, no. This comes from Gex at Snowy Boy. Jesus, all right, Peter.
Oh.
Snowy Boy Yanio.
As soon as I realized it wasn't from Gex himself, I got really bored.
Just not interested in what Gex has to say. Yeah. Thank you, Gex, for this weird news. This comes from PC Gamer.
Thank you, Gex.
Konami let the silenthill.com domain expire and some joker bought it.
Right.
This joker.
This flippin' joker is from Jody McGregor. It's not the first time the company let this happen, but it is the funniest. The fact that publisher
Konami... it's not going to be funny.
Well, we'll see.
I think it's going to be hilarious.
You best be holding on to your sides because they're about to split. The fact that publisher Konami doesn't really care about Silent Hill or its legacy is basically a meme at this point. The series seemingly relegated to perpetual limbo in the form of DLC for unrelated multiplayer games. The publisher has now let its ownership of the SilentHill.com domain name lapse long enough for someone else to buy it. An example of how little Konami cares. So pointed... What? So... an example of how little Konami cares, so pointed that if a satirist came up with it, you'd think it was a little on the nose.
Oh.
I had to take a few run-ups at that sentence.
A run-nuptial
Leave
agreement.
Leave me alone. This isn't even the first time Konami forgot to renew its registration. In December of 2019, SilentHill.com was spotted on sale for $9,835, but nobody was quick enough to grab it before Konami. This time, some cashed-up troll, it says, got in there, and now if you type SilentHill.com into your web browser of choice, you'll end up on a page showing a tweet from Masahiro Ito that says, "I wish I hadn't designed flipping Pyramid Head." It says,
wow.
That's a real tweet, by the way. Ito was art director on Silent Hill 2, creating the monster that would go on to be too iconic for its own good, seeing so much reuse that Ito said in a now deleted tweet.
What is that noise?
I've been trying to ignore it. There's a really strange buzzing noise coming from our lights.
I think it's coming from behind the lights, actually.
I thought it was coming from the electric
That electricity box on the wall.
Okay. Okay, well, we'll just pretend that that's fine, right?
Just don't touch anything magical.
Try not to be too distracted by it. Too iconic for its own good in a now deleted tweet. To use Pyramid Head in many titles makes Pyramid Head cheaper. So there we are. It continues like that. While Konami blithely lets Silent Hill drift off into the fog, the first game's director and...
Why does websites do that?
Massive advert that obscured the rest of the article. So there we are. We'll never know what it says because reading websites on mobile is an absolute nightmare.
Indeed.
Thank you. That is weird news. Let's move on to question three, for which Peter was so prepared.
So prepared.
Hey, guys. Rock Reese has sent question three.
I love that guy.
Thanks, Rock Reese.
Says, hey, boys and gal. With hearing different things about Horizon, some saying it's great, others saying everything good about the sequel is already in Zero Dawn, full stop.
Ashton needs a chance to offer a rebuttal to that.
I was going to do that in answer to the question.
Okay.
You okay to wait? Because I can tell you're very cross. Yeah, she's going to flip the whole table.
New sentence. I pose the question to you. Semicolon. What is a...
We're at Microsoft, Sam.
What is a sequel supposed to do in your eyes? Does it need to innovate? Can small additions make the whole difference? Is more of the same a bad thing if it's good? Thank you, Rock Reese. Good question.
Thanks, Rock Reese.
Thank you, Rock Reese.
Your opinion is wrong, or someone's opinion is wrong about Horizon, but other than that.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
Having not played it.
No, but I agree that I've seen some of the stuff that people are saying online. In fact, even before the game came out, they've done it with God of War as well, where they've said...
real negative Nancys out there, aren't
they?
They've
done side-by-side of, like, the get-into-boat animation.
Her rappelling down.
Yeah,
do you remember the debacle regarding Spider-Man when there were fewer puddles and it was just that the screenshots were taken at different times of day and in different weather?
Yeah.
People, as the famous philosopher Taylor Swift once said, throw rocks at things that shine. Mm-hmm. It's because it's popular, and for some reason, that's enough for them to not want it to succeed.
Makes me sad, like for reals, when people slag off Horizon.
Your wife. Away,
I get actually sad because I'm like, I'm enjoying it, and it makes me feel bad because people
say those people.
That the game is bad, and I'm like, no, I'm really enjoying the game. Leave me alone.
But I would say, even if games don't innovate massively, it doesn't have to be a bad thing. As long as there's an interesting new story that is being told, it can be within that world. I mean, you talk about Spider-Man. You know, Miles Morales wasn't a huge step up, really, from the first game. I know they added the...
It was a 1.5, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a 1.5. But I've got some other examples here. Like Uncharted 1 to 3, I think... incrementally didn't innovate hugely from 1 to 2 and then from 2 to 3. I think from 1 to 3 you can then see more of a difference. But you know, it didn't step up massively, I wouldn't say, bit by bit.
I disagree, but do continue.
Okay. Well, I mean I'm not saying that in these examples I've got a couple more that new mechanics weren't added. For example, I've got the start of Portal 2. Essentially that's just Portal. The gameplay I'm talking about here in Portal, you know, it's more cinematic and you've got interesting characters and stuff. And then as the game goes on, you then have all the gels and stuff. So it did eventually, you know, get further. But even the beginning of Portal 2, I enjoyed that just for being more Portal. Likewise, Halo 3. Yeah, okay, it there were a few additional mechanics, but it wasn't a huge step up, I don't think, in terms of innovation. And I think those cases show that you don't necessarily have to completely reinvent a game when you create a sequel in order for it to be worthwhile or enjoyable or good quality.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't specifically talk for Horizon other than a few of the stupid social media posts I've seen. Mm.
She does have a beard, though, which is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, she does have a beard. Disgusting, right? Ew. but
wouldn't want to have one of those.
No, right? But I mean, to answer Rock Reese's question directly, can small additions make the whole difference? Yeah, I think they can. I think all it takes is to make sure that it's not an identical game, and then provided you've got an interesting new story, new motivations, maybe a new character, that can be enough. It doesn't have to be that when you make a sequel, it has to be a brand new game, completely rebuilt from the ground up.
Yeah.
We talked about this a bit when we talked about Spider-Man a couple of, I think, 1 month ago now, about how, like, it's the same map, the same location, and yet still, like, the game is a different game. The story is different. I think sometimes people expect a game to be a completely brand from the ground up new game, but that's not a sequel then. Like, if you've got the same character and the character looks the same, she just looks like, for Horizon, she's got the same mechanics in some senses. You know, the rappel is still the same animation. She might have the same animation for certain kind of things that she does, but that's just because what's the point in remaking animations that work and do the job? And I also think that what a sequel should do is build on the existing character, the existing story, existing universe, and just fix/upgrade any mechanics that have, in the time between the sequels, been upgraded and done better elsewhere. Like, I think, if anything, Horizon didn't do as much in terms of, like, mechanic-wise. No, that's a lie. I'm speaking of one specific mechanic that I think that they should have fixed but didn't. Whereas you have to make Aloy pick up everything individually. You can't just, like, hold triangle and she picks everything in the vicinity up. That I kind of thought they were going to change, but they didn't. But there's so much different mechanics in the new game that some people might say there's too much change. Because if you love a game, you don't want the game to then be a completely different playing experience when you play the second game. So I think there's a lot of kind of, like, hate on developers in sort of doing similar things from game to game. But you don't want a whole new game. You love the game that came out in the first place. You don't want them to completely recreate the game so that you don't even recognize the play style. You can't play it the same.
Take even longer to develop as
exactly,
well.
Exactly. And I think Horizon builds on the story and the characters that you meet and the universe really well. I think there is, you know, mechanics that are the same and animations that are the same, but that is to be expected in a game that is the same franchise, the same game, just progressing on further. I don't think it needs to innovate if it doesn't benefit the series or the game specifically. You don't want to, like, you know, suddenly Aloy can, like, she has a jetpack and she can just, you know, has a jetpack. So they're like, oh, we'll just give her a jetpack because then she can fly. And you'll really like that, right? And you're like, why does Aloy have a jetpack now? She doesn't need
a jetpack. It's a sequel. She's got to have a jetpack.
Yeah. Innovate.
Yeah, innovate. So I just think that small additions do make a big difference. And there is examples where games have gone from one, like, version to an extremely kind of different version of a sequel, but I don't necessarily think that's always a good thing. And I think that most games, it depends, again, with most things, it depends on the game and it depends on what kind of thing players are expecting. But I think a sequel should just build on what was good about the first game and make upgrades to things that have changed since the first game came out. Mm-hmm. So there, Horizon is just as good as the first game, and I think the story is potentially a little bit better.
Wow. Whoa!
So there.
So there.
Internet.
Take that.
Leave me alone. You're done.
I suppose it's kind of a case of, do you want more of the same, or do you agree with bigger is always better? Because I think there's severe issues with both of those stances.
What if both?
What if both?
What if middle?
More of the same and bigger. I mean, that's always an option, but that's part of my problem with a lot of sequels. Sometimes it's just, we're going bigger than ever before. We're just gonna give you more and more and more until you don't even have enough time to finish it. And it's like,
that's not a good thing anymore.
Don't do that. Stop doing that. And if it's a game that was always massive in the first place, then yeah, I suppose it makes sense. The next game would be huge as well. But it's really tricky because I think to an extent you have to take it on a case by case basis. If The Elder Scrolls VI was set in exactly the same map as Skyrim, we'd be like, what?
Yeah.
What the hell have you? What are you doing there? But if Spider-Man 2 takes place in the same map as Spider-Man 1, that makes sense. That's logical. That's fine. That's totally okay. I imagine there'll probably be a bit of the new God of War that takes place in exactly the same map because that's where the flipping teleporty thing is that takes you to the different realms. Yeah. And I imagine you'll just be going to different realms. I've reviewed games in the past where, and I've obviously played, we've all played games, where you will start them up and they're a sequel and you sort of get the impression that, man, this just feels exactly like the first game. Like it feels like there's no real progress made. So I think that there really can be an issue in some instances with games that have a sequel that don't really do anything new, that they are just kind of the same. And it's difficult to sort of quantify that without actually experiencing it there and then. Like you can play that and identify there that this is not that impressive for a sequel. But I couldn't point at something that's coming up or that has just come out, for example, and be like, that's just more of the same. Boo to that. And likewise, or I suppose that on the total opposite end of the spectrum, if you're a huge fan of a game and you do just want more, maybe a sequel that is just more of the same isn't a bad thing, as long as, as you say, it has a new story and new characters. And it just, like I've said before on this podcast, that if they did a Dark Souls 4 that came out 2 years after Dark Souls 3 and it was fundamentally exactly the same from a game playing experience, it was just set in a new place and had different bosses, but graphically it was identical, I'd have been totally fine with that.
Yeah.
But it's not common in the industry for that to happen. Developers go away for maybe 5, 6, 7 years sometimes and make something entirely new. If we did make games like Miles Morales or this hypothetical Dark Souls 4 that had a much shorter turnaround, we'd be getting sequels to our favorite games all the time. But I think just that the standards are set so high, clearly, by people who make stupid criticisms of Horizon and other games, that perhaps it's just that maybe the ship has already, it's going to be too difficult to turn it around. That's just kind of where we are. Games always need to be shinier, bigger, better. And indie games aren't beholden to that, obviously. But I suppose it also matters if there's been a new console generation in between since the last sequel.
Yeah.
If a game comes out and then the next console generation, obviously this doesn't apply to PC, releases, then maybe the expectations are justified that things need to be new and shinier and better rather than it just runs at 60 frames now.
But even then, like, you could justify, you could argue that you would only expect it to be kind of technically better, like graphically and performance wise, like maybe no loading screens or whatever, if we're talking about current gen. But I wouldn't necessarily expect from one console generation to the next that mechanically that there really ought to be like huge innovation.
Oh yeah, no giving Aloy a jetpack just because it's on PS5.
Exactly,
like that's it's not necessary. It's a difficult.
Just give her a beard.
Yeah, just give her a beard. That's it. We have the beard technology now.
Yeah.
It's really difficult, as I said, it's really difficult to quantify. It is on a case-by-case basis, series by series. If we're talking sequels specifically, then we are talking series that already exist. And I think if a game comes out in a popular series that it is more of the same, but it's taken them 5 years to do it, I think questions are justifiably going to be asked. But there's a good chance that if you're a huge fan of that series anyway, yes, the critical reception might suffer a bit, but you'll probably still really enjoy it. As long as you say, quality of life improvements made elsewhere in similar genres are at least reflected a little bit. It doesn't still have the same issues that it, you know, that particular genre had 5 years ago. Because things move on and you need to adapt at least from a quality of life perspective, I think.
It's time for the big discussion.
Is it? Wow, there's been just a real lack of conversation leading into sections today.
I didn't know if you were going to say something. I didn't know you were finished.
That was it. I was all done.
Sorry.
That's fine. It's not your fault. It's big discussion time. Time for the big video game podcast discussion. This week's big discussion comes courtesy of Richard Major, who asks, hello, BAP, B-A-N-P, question mark?
He's here. There he is.
Him here.
Him's here.
There's been so much Elden Ring coverage, but I'm pretty sure I won't like it because it'll be too hard and frustrating for me. This is giving me significant FOMO. What's a FOMO, Ashton?
Fear of missing out, Ben.
Have you ever... Thank you. Have you... What?
I knew that one.
Peter knew that one.
Yeah, so did I. I was just on. Okay. Sorry. Have you ever... What's FOMO, Ashton?
Fear of missing out.
Have you ever had FOMO about a game or similar that you knew you just wouldn't like...
Full stop.
Thank you, sir. There's no punctuation in there. Thank you, Richard. You ever seen a game come out and you thought, wow, I really want to get swept up in the hype and I can't?
Elden Ring. I see everyone playing it and everyone's talking about it and I'm like, I know that I will have a terrible time and I just won't be able to get into it. And I'm very aware of that. But I see everyone playing it and I'm like, damn it! I just want to play. I just want to be involved in the conversation.
I don't, though. Like, it doesn't bother me at all because I know that I won't like it. I've only ever had FOMO for things, for exclusives that are on a console that I don't have. Mm. I've got an example here. World of Warcraft. That came out when I was of an age where I couldn't just get that myself and pay for it. It would have had to be like, Dad, can I have World of Warcraft? And because it was a monthly subscription, that's just, I wasn't allowed it. Or I don't think I even asked. If I'd asked, I might have actually got it. But I was like, he's not going to pay every month for me to play this game.
I was like with Club Penguin.
So, yeah.
So, just one of those puffles.
You know, people talked a lot about World of Warcraft. I'd played a lot of Warcraft 3, and I thought that's a game that I probably really enjoy playing with my friends. Never played it. And at this point, I'm not going to start playing WoW, like, you know, years and years into the lore. I guess the same with Uncharted as well. I talked about it in the previous question. But, you know, that was PS3 at the time, and I didn't have one. I had a 360, and I thought that game looked like a lot of fun. All three of them looked like... super fun. And I always thought, man, that sucks. But I don't feel that way about Elden Ring because I know that I wouldn't like it. So it doesn't bother me that I'm not part of that conversation. If anything, the only thing that I don't like about that game being, you know, the talk of the town at the moment is that algorithms think that I want that because I interact with PS5 content in general on Twitter. Mm. And so I do now get a lot of Elden Ring stuff on my feed. And, you know, it's a minor inconvenience being like, oh, that's not content tailored for me, but you've given it to me. So there's that. And then I guess the only thing in terms of the closest thing to FOMO I would get with Elden Ring is that it's obviously going to be part of the Game of the Year conversation at the end of this year. Mm. And I'm just not going to play it. And it, understandably, and I think rightfully, will be a lot of people's Game of the Year or top five when we do our top fives. And, you know, I'll just think like, yeah, I can't really contribute to this because I didn't play it. But, you know, I think everyone should just play kind of what they want to play. And if you do have FOMO, maybe at least give it a try. You know, for example, Richard Major, if you think I think it will be too hard and frustrating for me, but I've got fear of missing out, well, maybe you should just maybe have a go, you know. Yep. And then you'll know, really, I think, at that point. Ashton, you too, give it a go.
Yeah, well, I gave the beta, the open beta a go, and I couldn't get into it. Mm-hmm. I just don't like the way it looks. It's not colorful enough for me. Everything's too gray and brown and my brain turns off and I don't know where I'm going.
It's the most colorful one as well.
It is, isn't it?
I know.
It's got green in it.
I know.
It's so much green now.
I love hearing everyone talk about it because I'm like, God, I just wish I was involved. I just wish I could like have something to add to the conversation, but I just don't, and I just can't. Like, I just can't do it. I can't bring myself to play it because I know I'm going to hate it. Same with most Souls games, to be fair. Like, when people talk about Souls games, I'm always like, damn, I wish I could join in, but I don't have anything to add because I'm going to hate them.
I think the world building looks really interesting in all those games. That's the one thing that I do think maybe I had a bit of an understanding about.
I wish I was like better at games. Like I wish I was better at like Souls games. I wish I was better at online multiplayer games, because then I could like play them, not get my ass kicked, and have a good time and be like, well, I really enjoy Overwatch and I really enjoy Apex Legends, but I'm bad. I just die immediately every time I try and play. So, but also, I really like the community and the kind of reactions people give to MMORPGs. Like Final Fantasy 14, people love it and people talk about it all the time, and they go like, oh, we're going to go do some fishing in Final Fantasy 14. And I'm like, oh, I wish I was involved in the fishing.
Yeah.
But again, it's one of those things where I just know that it's too much for me to kind of get into, and I'd feel a bit overwhelmed. So I know that there's no way that I'm going to enjoy and playing an MMORPG, unless I was with other people and then they could help me through it. But I do think that I wish I could kind of like it as much as other people do, so that people in my like gaming sphere would be like, hey Ashton, you want to come fishing too? And I'd be like,
hell yeah,
let's go fishing. I also have like FOMO, but I guess it's kind of, I've fear of having already missed out is kind of, I guess, the way of, it's not, I'm not currently missing out, I just have. When people talk about games they played as children, or like games that you guys had on the PlayStation 1 when you were growing up, I'm kind of like, oh, well, I don't have any kind, like a lot of this nostalgia that a lot of people have towards video games and stuff. And I kind of wish that I did, and I kind of have that whole thing of being like, because one of the writers was being like, what childhood game did you play that you know, you would really like to see remastered? And the only thing I could think of was Nintendogs and Lego Island, which I had on my dad's computer when I was like 12. So I wish I kind of had more like childhood experience with games, so that I could now be like, oh yeah, I played that when I was like 8. I had a great time. And mine's just Call of Duty when I was like 14.
That's okay though. Yeah. That's your story.
It's my story, but it's not a good one.
We could say the same with like SNES games and stuff. Like I don't look at the NES and
I wish I could say I liked Mario or Sonic, but I don't. I think I'm just not interested in either of those.
I have like very, very vague memories of the kid next door playing Donkey Kong Country on his SNES, and I thought that game, you know, because of the sprites that are kind of like, they look like they're photos of little claymation models. I don't know quite how they did them, but they're like pre-rendered stuff. I thought that game looked technically amazing, and I really wished like that I had that as my nostalgia as well. But yeah, everyone has it, every generation.
Yeah.
Or even even if you were around at the time of a certain generation, if you had this console and not that one, then you know you missed out on stuff back then as well.
There'll be someone out there longing for your nostalgia at some
Nintendogs.
Point.
Nintendogs.
Yeah, Lego because Island. they'll have grown up with like
Animal Crossing,
Assassin's Creed 1 or something like that'll be their childhood game. Can you imagine anything more bleak than that?
Yeah.
Like that, imagine being nostalgic for Assassin's Creed. Oh, awful.
Wii Sports.
Well, Wii Sports. I love Wii Sports.
I'm not saying it's a bad game, but like it's not, it doesn't make me feel all warm and, but I guess because it's not my nostalgia.
Maybe not.
Mine's a bit of Wii Sports as well. Wii Party. Loved Wii Party. Mm-hmm. It's great. Ben,
yeah.
Do you have anything you fear? You have FOMO for?
Oh, I've FOMO'd all over the place various times. Excuse me, what?
FOMO all over the floor.
I'll pick it up when we're done. We'll say very quickly about people who are frightened about playing Elden Ring. Not frightened, but you know, terrified.
Scared.
Really scared. It's a tough game to get into. So many people have bounced off this series over the years, and it's not an easy game. It's not an easy game. It's challenging, and you do have to get good, and you have to learn how to play. But guess what? I was terrible at these games once upon a time, and I walked away from them for like 3 years. Like, I tried Demon's Souls. Excuse me, getting emotional thinking about it. I tried Demon's Souls, and I was rubbish at it, and it made me really cross, and I didn't play it for 3 years. Same with, and then I bought Dark Souls on launch, tried it, was terrible at it, and then left it for even longer, and then came back. What helped me was having a friend who was super into it and knew how they worked, and then I slowly got the hang of it because I was able to be chaperoned around, basically, as I've spoken about on this podcast before. But also, I've heard stories of a lot of people who didn't like the Dark Souls games, didn't get on with Demon's Souls, but tried Bloodborne and loved Bloodborne.
Yeah.
It's going to be, you know, you're going to know whether or not you're into it. But I will say Elden Ring, for some reason, is only like 45 quid. It's not a super, super duper expensive game. So if you wanted to give it a try, why the hell not? And then you'll know. And then you'll still have the FOMO of the conversation surrounding it. But, you know, you won't have the FOMO. You'll know for sure that you won't like it. Games that I've had FOMO for, the Crash and Sane trilogy, the nostalgia was real for that. And I didn't like Crash Bandicoot. I liked Crash Team Racing, but I wasn't into the Crash Bandicoot series when I was young. And so the excitement surrounding it, and it was so colorful, and people were really like losing their minds and talking about beating certain levels. And I was just sat there thinking, I'd love to be involved in this, but I just don't get it. I don't get it at all. Same for Crash 4 more recently.
Yeah.
That's another game that I would have loved. Like, I did seriously consider buying at one point, and then I started watching a long play to try and tide me over, and I watched it and thought, that looks infuriating.
It's not a good entry point. It
looks really infuriating. I don't know that I would enjoy that. Psychonauts 2 is a game everyone's been chatting up about how amazing it is, but I tried Psychonauts 1, and I know it's an older game now. I didn't like it. I just couldn't get into it. And that makes me sad because I would love to enjoy Psychonauts 2.
James Jenkins, big Psychonauts fan.
Loves it. Named a foster cat after it, one of the characters. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I couldn't get into that. And another one I've got written down is Borderlands, the pre-sequel, which was one of those games that I was just completely uninterested in until it was like a week before it came out. And then all the marketing kicked off. And I really panicked. Like, I had a real panic, like, oh my God, I really need to play this game. It's a Borderlands game. I should be excited. I'm excited now. And I ended up getting it anyway. So it wasn't so much the fear of FOMO as much as anything else.
Fear of almost missing out.
Yes, that made me get it. But FOMO is real. You know, people, it can be hard. But Elden Ring is the most accessible one. And it's not going to be for everyone even then. But, you know, try it.
I have thought of one more, actually. Smash Bros. I would love...
That's a good one.
I love
any fighting game for that matter. Really.
Well, yeah, I mean, I quite like Tekken and Soul Calibur, so I enjoy those. But I have always liked the idea of like multi-franchise crossover stuff where, you know, there are all these different characters from all these different things. And I know there was like PlayStation All-Stars, which wasn't very good. And then like more people are doing the same now. There's the Warner Brothers one and so on. But when I see people just enjoying Smash Bros and getting excited for new characters and stuff, and then like a new character is revealed and it's someone, I'm like, I have no idea who that is because it's a Nintendo character. Mm. I kind of wish that I had that Nintendo background that I could just really hype over, like, new character coming. I know we've got them all now, but watching all that unfold on Twitter, I was a little bit jealous of, like, you know, I wish that I could feel that excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let us know down below in if you've ever had FOMO for anything and everything else that we've covered today.
Yeah.
Have they done it yet? I don't know. Are you doing it now?
What are you typing? Are you doing it?
I don't know.
They've just done it. I see it. It's down.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
Under the table.
Oh, yeah.
I can see it.
Oh, that's obscene, that comment.
That's rude, isn't it?
It is rude.
Have a think about that.
How dare you?
Have a think about that.
Banned.
Terrible.
I don't know what is going on today. Why do we keep sitting in silence? It's really freaking me out.
She can't. She
can't take the silence.
I feel like I'm meant to be saying something.
No, no. If anything, I could move on to my bit.
But yeah, it's Peter's bit next.
Yeah, I know, but it's just
I mean, you normally say Peter's going to tell you.
That's true, but I do also normally say, let us know what you think of what was. So I just thought maybe you were just going to. No. I'm not, to be clear, I'm not cross.
Okay.
I'm just disappointed.
Right.
No, I thought maybe you'd roll right into it, but I'm quite happy with it. I'm enjoying the silence.
Okay. Well, let's just have a bit more.
Look how uncomfortable she is.
I really silence. Don't like it.
And then I'm going to tell you where you can find us on the internet.
Yes!
We are Team Triple Jump everywhere worth being. YouTube.com and twitch.tv/Team Triple Jump. It's where our videos and live streams go. When we're streaming on both of those channels, we're modded by Lob Brotovic, Trailing Badger, and Mr. Black. Thank you very much. By the way, talking of Twitch, if you've got Amazon Prime, part of the whole bundle there is a Twitch sub, so you can spend that on us. Won't cost you anything extra, and we'll benefit from it. Twitter and Facebook.com/Team Triple Jump for video and live stream announcements, legacy content, live stream stuff, occasional Facebook Lives, and so on and so forth. All kinds of stuff happening there. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Fraser, for looking after our social media. We also now have a TikTok. TikTok.com/@Team Triple Jump. Is that at symbol accurate?
Yeah, Ashton? I think so. That's why I just copied and pasted it off the website. So
okay,
but you can, if you've got TikTok, you can just type in @Team Triple Jump.
We are ticking and or talking over there, especially Ashton and Fraser.
Mainly just me and Fraser right now.
Mainly at the moment.
I think we're planning on roping in Peter, but Ben is a hard no.
Yeah.
I'm busy.
And finally, patreon.com/Team Triple Jump. You can go there and check out all of our different Patreon tiers. There are many, many different rewards that you can have a look at and pay for if you want.
We have a website. It's triplej.mup. That's triplej.mp. Spots jump. If you want to join our Discord, you can go to triplej.mup/Discord. Chat with all our wonderful community. On Discord, we're modded by Jack, Joe, Tori, and Hollow Eyes. And if they tell you to do something, do it. If you want to listen to the podcast in its audio forms, maybe you've got a long drive ahead of you, you're off to, or maybe you want to play into Ireland, why not go to triplej.mup/podcast to find out where you can listen to it in its audio forms. If you want to watch any of the live stream VODs that you've missed over the couple of weeks, go to triplej.mup/VODs, that's VODS. And if you want to buy some sick and cool merch that we're all sporting today.
Am I wearing?
Sports time jacket. Merch. I don't. This is.
You can buy that on our legacy store.
You can buy this on our legacy store. You can go to triplejumpshop.com to buy some cool merch and tweet us follow the Twitter @triplejumpshop to find out when all new merch releases are coming out. If you want to.
Yeah. My turn.
Yeah.
Why not follow Peter and Ashton on Instagram and Twitter @ThatPeterAustin and @ScrambledAshton. And myself, just on Twitter @Confused_Dude. We do lists every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Thursday being the joint streams on YouTube. And the other streams being solo streams on Twitch. Worst Games Ever is fortnightly, Friday for patrons of a certain tier, Sunday for everybody else. We do the podcast every Saturday. And we've got shows all the bloody time. Where have you been? Pay attention. Come on. Go to the channel. No. Why not leave a 5-star review on iTunes or your platform of choice? It helps something to do with that. What's my jumper doing?
Al Gore's Rhythms.
Al Gore's Rhythms. Look at that.
Mine's doing that too.
That's fun, isn't it? Can yours do that, Peter?
It can do, yeah.
That's good, isn't it? This comes built in when you buy this, by the way, from the shop. You don't have to pay extra for this. This is free.
You can put a bottle of Lucozade Sport in there for your sports times.
You can store anything. Oh, there's a fluff. Oh.
A Joey,
yeah, you can. Snowy Joey.
Yeah.
All of them. Facebook.com/triplejump. Please go and follow. We're nearly there now. Please. TikTok, that's still happening. And it's good. You should go check it out.
We're trying to get to 1,000 at this point. Hopefully get there soon. We're almost there.
Hey.
Followers.
We've got a ranked list coming on the weekend.
Is it? Is this confirmed?
Yeah, seems to be. Alex reckons at time of recording he's going to finish it today. Therefore, he may have to do a couple of tweakums tomorrow, but it should be done in time for the weekend. Unless he gets mown down by a bus on his way home tonight.
Touch wood. Hopefully he does.
Yeah, that would be great. No, we love Alex. He's done an excellent job.
With Did you say what the ranked was?
No.
No, are we going to say?
Oh, it's a good one.
We should. We should say.
Somebody once told me the world is going to be Shrek ranked.
We're doing every Shrek game ranked worst to best.
It's a Shrek list. We're doing every Shrek video game ranked from worst to best. Philip nearly went insane writing it.
But it's his fault. He's the one that put the idea into the atmosphere.
It is his fault. Yeah. So, yeah.
He manifested it.
That's true. So hopefully that'll be coming. If not, it's already out. Peter.
Yeah.
It is a worst games ever week.
It is.
However, our precious editor, James Jenkins, who we have not paid enough and has some, he's got sort of like a Tiny Tim disease because he lives in sort of like
scurvy.
Dropsy, tuberculosis, scurvy, all the hits, all the classics.
Cholera.
He lives in a little coal cellar. So that's the problem. Now, James is unwell, isn't he?
So obviously I was off all week. Normally we would have had worst games ever recorded for the start of this week for James to start editing. So I was off all last week, so we didn't have it recorded. Then Ben was off on Monday for his self-care day. So then on Tuesday, we finally recorded Worst Games. And we're like, is that enough time, James, for you to do it? He's like, yes, Mr. Scrooge, I think so. Yeah. And now James Jenkins is a sick man. And so I suspect...
He's doing big plops.
Worst Games Ever will not
We don't know that.
Will not be available this weekend. However, if you are a patron... Weirdest Games Ever was this weekend.
Yes.
So if you want some kind of dose of games ever, then being a patron, you get 1 week early access to what will be next week's YouTube episode of Weirdest Games Ever. So you can have that at least, maybe.
We will do a relevant post, obviously, if... I mean, he could show up tomorrow and edit like the Dickens and get the whole thing...
Like the Charles Dickens.
Like the Charles Dickens character he is and get the whole thing finished. But at the moment, at the time of recording this podcast, it's looking pretty unlikely. So we will let you know, of course. And if we can't get one out this week, we will just double up. So there'll be one next week and the week after
as
well.
Yeah, you'll still get... It'll just be this one gets delayed by 1 week and then we go back to the usual.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That'll be it. So you'll be getting no fewer episodes.
No
lesser, I think. I mean, wonderful. Peter, have you got the... in fact, I shouldn't really say anything, should I? I should just be quiet and then there should be a silence. And then maybe you do it, maybe you don't.
Horizon for Elden Ring.
Cool.
Thanks, everyone.
That's great.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week, everyone.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.